see it right. So when we look at it now, we say it's something else. When a child was disobedient, we used to say, you know what? They need to be broke up from that. Now when they're disobedient, we say, oh, he got a good, strong personality. Come on, somebody say amen. And something's wrong with that. Because when I was young and you call yourself, raise your chest up or look a grown person in the eye while they fussing, then you get your behind whipped. But now the psychologists say don't whip them. Why they say that? Because they got something they want you to let your child be whatever he gonna be, when he gonna be it. And when he get out there in the street, then somebody else whoops it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this wonderful time of study in your word with the people of God. And we pray that you'd meet us in the text, tailoring the truth to meet us where we are, then lifting us to the place you'd have us to be. We thank you in advance for what you shall share and reveal and unfold and disclose to us today. And then that we might practice these principles for profit and more especially giving you the praise. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence. Well, February is noted mostly as Black History Month and the month of love. And certainly we want to kick off our teaching today dealing with the issue of love. And we'll catch some of the black history as we go through the month. But certainly we want to remind us afresh of the power of love. And that's so important because when we look at the bedrock of our Christian faith, it is based on the fact that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, he did that so that whosoever, which meant that he was not prejudiced, he didn't limit his love, would believe upon him would have everlasting life. And that's so important for us to recognize that that love must be the principal thing as it relates to us understanding what God has for us in place for us and how he desires us to operate. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 through 8 reminds us of a few things, and I want us to look at that if you don't mind, because it literally tells us that charity is love and love is charity. Verse 4 says, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5 says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. 6th verse says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7 says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 8 says, charity or love never faileth. Now we're talking about the power of love, because in order to have this kind of love, we're going to discover again for some of us and others of us, we'll be refreshed in the fact that this represents the God kind of love or the agape love, and we'll deal in just a few moments with these various loves. But this is the perfect love. This is the godly love. This is the kind of love that should be at the core of every believer's life. As a matter of fact, the other loves, if they're ever going to reach their full potential, must be based on this love. If you try to have either other love and it doesn't have this love first, I can promise you it ain't gonna work. Because the bedrock of all love evolves from this love here, the true foundation of real love. As a matter of fact, if you don't have this love, you don't really love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, can I tell you, you ain't gonna love nobody else? Amen, somebody. And so when we look at this, we're going to understand again, you're talking about the power of love. Let's go back through these verses and look at it based on this theme, the power of love. Love suffereth long, because that's power in that love. And is kind, because that's power in that love. Love envieth not, because of the power of love. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, because of the power of the love. It does not behave itself unseemly, because of its own power. Seeketh not her own, because of its own power, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. All of this takes and requires the power of love at its purest form to operate in this kind of vein. Verse 6 says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. The power of real love doesn't rejoice in vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. And again it says, but rejoiceth where? In the truth. Why does it rejoice in the truth? Because that's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that's going to stand. That's the only thing that's going to come to the point where it proves itself as real. And then look at what the power of love does. It bears all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. Endureth all things. If all of the rest of this stuff didn't get you, verse 7 just kind of gets you there. Because when it talks about bearing all things, it's talking about things beyond itself. Things that are, again, not necessarily of its own, but is made its own because of its care for other things outside of itself. So that power that beareth all things, when you love, you help your brother bear his or her or sister their burden. Not because it's your burden, but because of your love for them, you reach out beyond your own comfort zone. You reach out beyond your own safety zone. You reach out beyond yourself, and you reach to help others because that's a part of the perfect love. Believeth all things, or really believe in things. You know, one of the good things about real love is it looks beyond what it sees.
That's right. That's right.
If God didn't believe that giving his son would bring us to him, we wouldn't be here today.
That's right. That's right.
But though he knows we have a choice, and that choice is up to us whether or not we flow in the things of God or not, or we make the decision to accept the things of not, he's believing for us. He's believing in us. He's believing so much so that what he has done as an act of faith comes out of the love that he has for us. And so he believes all things, hopeth all things. Now again, sometimes when you go beyond this believing all things, you begin to hope, and that's on a whole nother level, even in and of itself. Because there are some things you can't believe in because you don't have enough facts
to rest upon. But how many know you can hope that you get it? When you ain't got nothing to rest your belief on, you can just hope some things. And so when you hope for those things again, that takes it also to a whole nother level. And then endureth all things, which means you go through what you got to go through till it's manifested. You hold on and don't let go because you're believing that it's going to work out. And that kind of hope and that kind of enduring love comes only from the pureness of God. And so when we recognize that and embody that, that will transform not only our lives, but every life that we touch or come in contact with when this is the basis of the love that we have. This really represents the power of God's love. That's why when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, he made it clear to them, you know what? If we say we have love and we do all of that good talk and all of those religious works, and if love is not at the seat and the center of our heart, all of that is in vain. We're just like a wagon making a whole lot of noise. We just are like tinkling cymbals sounding off, but there is no substance to hold us together. When it's all said and done, love is not just a word that sounds good to the ear, but it is a work that is produced out of the very spirit of love itself. And so that's why verse 8 says, charity or love never faileth. One of the reasons for that is because love adds so much more. And one of the best ways to just look at that is to understand that love fills in where you fall short. And when you think about that, in any case and in any situation, if you're talking about this love, the agape love, how God's love fills in all of the places that are void in our lives, that are empty in our lives, that have been messed up in our lives, that are mistakes in our lives, everything that falls short of our goodness, God's love makes up for it. His mercy, His grace, His Son. And so when you see that, that will give us a whole new level of understanding. I want you to see something else as we move forward. I want you to also see some of the definitions of this word love, just so that we can have, and you can write them down, jot them down if you get a chance. But definition of love says strong, tender affection, passion, enthusiasm, or like for another. Another definition is warm attachment, devotion. Third one is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. Another one is the fatherly concern of God for mankind, the brotherly concern for others, the benevolent affection of God for His creatures, or the reverent affection due from them to God. One of the things that I want you to note about love in all of these definitions is the fact that love is not caught up on itself.
That's right. Amen.
Love is always in a giving, extended mode. It's always a reaching beyond self and moving out beyond. If it's real love, it doesn't stay inside of you. It is shared beyond you. See, that's one of the things, that's why if you say you have love and it is not extended, it is not demonstrated, it is not operational, then it's not real love, because real love is always the motivating force for giving or reaching or doing. And so where there is no real force, where there is no real action, where there is no real demonstration, there is no real love. Okay, so when somebody says I love you and they say it and don't show it,
hello people.
The world had a song long years ago that said show and tell. Telling sounds good to the ear, but it don't do much beyond that. Real love shows and tells, tells and show. And then for the flip side of that, real love doesn't just show, it tells you. Because there must be a balance. You know, somebody can show you they love you, love you, love you, but then that falls short when they don't tell you. All right, women, can I get this from you? You know, just your husband may or may not be here, but if I'm right, come on, just say amen, pastor. I mean, you can go, he can say, well, look, baby, don't I show you I love you? Well, yeah, baby, just tell me. I don't want to tell you I love you. But something will fall short. Fall short. Now, on the other hand, if you just say it, and never do anything about it, that falls real short. Because you can't even look at no love. Ain't nothing around there to remind you of no love for me. So, you know, I mean, it must be a balance between, and God not only says he loves us with an everlasting love, with an unconditional love, with an unending love, but from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from every day you breathe his air, he shows you and through his word tells you and in your spirit reminds you that he loves you. If you ever get caught up in the agape love, you will just float many of your days on the spirit of love. And even when you got to deal with other folk who are not lovely, you will love them because there's so much love in you coming out of you because of him and the love he has for you. You just float on his love. You ain't really got no room for that love anyhow. You know, I mean, that don't stop you. That don't change you. I mean, and if the love that you show and demonstrate to them, if you don't get it back from them, trust you me, you've got an abundance of his, and that won't even matter. That's why you won't feel rejected about folk, you know, showing the love of God to somebody. They don't show it back to you because they are not your source. That's right. God is your source. So if they never say it back, if they never do it back, if they never treat you like they love you, it's not your responsibility to wait on a response. It's your responsibility to show them what you're made of and who you are made of and what's on the inside of you. And if God is love and you are a part of God, love ought to be a part of you. Ain't no different. The Bible says that the world go around and speak to those who speak to them, do good to those who do good to them. You ain't doing nothing different from the world if you show love to those who love you or if you do good to those who do good to you. But where the real love comes in is when you love the haters. Tell somebody, I'm learning to love the haters. Because all of us ain't there where we love the haters. Jesus was hanging on the cross and the haters put him there. And he said, Father, forgive them. Now, when was the last time the hater messed with you and you said, Father, forgive them? You said, Father, sick them. Or something similar. That when the love fills you up, you're looking at, you really don't know. You really don't know. Because here's what you know that Jesus knew. They had no idea what was going to happen to them for messing with him. And he says, Father, forgive them. I know I've been through some stuff, and if you've ever seen the movie The Passion of Christ, you will recognize that what he went through, no human being in and of himself outside of the power of God and the keeping power of the Holy Ghost could endure what he endured, but he did it because it represented our penalty that he paid for us. And yet in the midst of that, he found love to love those who definitely did not love him. And because he didn't curse them, and because he didn't come down off the cross before the time had been accomplished, one of the guards looked at him and said, surely, this was. And he was wrong about the was. But from his human and natural perspective, because Jesus had given up the ghost, the Son of God. But what he didn't know was that while he thought he was dead, he was very much alive. And he had just transferred to the spirit realm all of his concern to go then and review all of those people and prophets who had been waiting for him to come and their request to see him and waiting on the Messiah. And he went down, according to Revelation 1, with a whole bunch of keys and started unlocking the cells of all of the saints who had been waiting for him, the prophets and all of them who had been preaching in his name and calling on. And he just spent those 3 days unlocking cells. And then when the third day had finally come and it was, you know, passed, he said, now all of these cell doors are locked. I want y'all to get ready because I'm about to lead this parade up the streets of Jerusalem and we are out of here. And they got up early that Sunday morning. And the Bible says they saw them folk raised from the dead. Even all of those folk who had died in faith going down the streets of Jerusalem. Love, love, love. went there and did what nothing and no other power could do. I want to share something again with you. Let's look at the fact that true love, agape love, means giving because it requires action. The agape love is the God kind of love. I want you to also know loving God's way requires that you love Him with all your heart first. He must be your passion. John says, I love Him because He first loved me. And because that love was first, and because that love was powerful, it was that love when he recognized the real passion. Let me tell you something. If you ever love anybody more than you love God, then you do not have agape love. Nobody should garner up your love, garner up your passion. No one should cause the things that happen and feel on the inside of you like God does. No one. And that passion is what gives us the power to love like God and to live like God wants us and to give like God wants us. The great example of love is when God gave you, me, us, His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, John 3:16. The greatest demonstration of real love was the gift of His most blessed Son, made in His image and in His likeness, and the essence of Him, only begotten, meaning there's none like Him on that order or in that form. He was the true Son. The true sons. We are sons and daughters by adoption. In other words, He's a pure blood. Yeah. We get in by right because God loved us enough to take us in. And so, even so, when you look at that example, He then made us heir with His only begotten. And then He didn't just make us heirs, because, you know, just because you're an heir don't mean you get equal. Are you listening? And He says, listen, I love you so much, I'm going to act as if you are begotten also. Because I'm going to share with my Son, who is an heir, a true heir, and make you joint heirs. Joint heirs means we get the same thing. We are even. We are joint. It's like a joint account. You can't be on a joint account and have more than me. If we're on a joint account together, whatever's in that account, either one of us can get it out. Unless you say and. Y'all will catch that on you. When we're joining this John R, or you am, you know, but if you say it has to be and, then that means you can't get nothing without me. God didn't even put it like that. And so He just gave us access, everything the Son has access to, He's given us access to. That's why we don't recognize our power. That's why we don't understand our position. That's why we don't understand our possessions, because we don't understand as joint heirs that that Jesus has already made clear that what He has done in the earth realm, now He's positioned in heaven and He's waiting on your order to do in heaven whatever you do on earth. Amen. So even if you were to say, okay, we are and Jesus and John, He say, ain't no problem. Tell me what you want. Whatever you bind on earth, I'm gonna bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'm gonna loose it in heaven. What's the difference? In this case, what He's literally saying is, whatever I've been privy to, you're privy to. Whatever I've done, you can do. And then He went a step further and said, and greater works than these shall ye do. Why? Because I go back to the Father. So when you begin to recognize what you are truly given as a joint heir of Jesus Christ, man, it'll revolutionize your life in understanding the love that He gave, so much so that it provides for you everything you will ever need on this earth to walk in the fullness of His love, His power, His possessions, His peace, His protections. I mean, and listen, if that don't give you no passion, something wrong. Something wrong. Think about it. Let me just go back in the natural again, because most thing that excites us is material stuff. So let's just think about, you know, you waking up this morning and you knew what you had in your checking account or savings account before you went to bed last night. But you wake up for some strange reason. Some of you may have been overdrawn, but that's all right. You woke up and you wanted to see what the charges were after your overdrawn status is. And you check your account and you find out that you have a one with multiple zeros behind it. And when you get your face up off the floor and recognize it's not a mistake, you know, some of us, we're not going to go check with the officers and say, look, I want to check my account, make sure this is right. You're going to go try and use your ATM card, try and see if there's something wrong with it. But before I find out what's wrong, let me go get my daily limit. And if that comes out, then I'm going to check and see if this is right. Because if I got to pay it back, I'll pay it back. But at least I have it. I understand. But when you find out that that money is rightfully yours, some of you may not even care who put it there. You would not even do that. But where did it come from? So mommy said, ma'am, it was a cash deposit. Sir, it was an anonymous donor. Man. Wow. Ring, ring. I just called to tell y'all I ain't coming to work today. You sick? No, I ain't sick. No, take that back. Yes, I am sick. I'm sick of y'all. And matter of fact, I'm quitting. Have my check ready for you know, you start tripping. You passing a bill up, but it won't be for all of the things that you will start thinking about how you can live life on a whole different level with all of its blessings and so forth and so on. Now, I mean, I'm just being real with you about that. Would it not change your life if you would look in your account and find out that you had million plus dollars in your account and it was real and it was spendable? And well, God, I pray it never happened to those who acting like that happened to them every day, since you won't act like it wouldn't. I'm blessed. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, it'll change how I ain't no pauper by a long stretch of the imagination. And yet it would change how I feel. I mean, you talk about it would. Because I would know it's the favor of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the blessings of God. I know it wasn't no accident, because he promised me he transferred the wealth of the wicked into my account. I'm just saying, Lord, do what you say you'll do. I'll rejoice because I know God is faithful to his word. And then I'll be a blessing to folk like I've never been a blessing before. And I will certainly be obedient to what God has offered in that same vein. Then God's love is perfect. It's powerful, it's potent, it's persistent, it's patient, and it's ever present. My God. His love is perfect first, which means it is his perfecting love that makes us perfect. It is his perfecting love that makes us perfect. It is the love that he's placed in us that constantly makes us better. Day by day, he gives us what we can handle. He changes us and tweaks us on a daily basis. It's an ongoing experience. Because of his perfect love, he makes us more and more like him every day. Perfect love. But look again, it's the power that he has to do that. It's his power that fuels his passion to make us perfect. And when you recognize that, you'll see that it's such a potent love that it'll make you love first, beginning with yourself, even those who are unlovely and who have said to you, I don't love you. Don't like, can't stand you. You make me sick. All of those things, you're like, well, praise God, I love you, my brother, I love you, my sister. And sincerely, with the love of God, hurting for them because they don't know the word says, if you hate, you're just like a murderer. A murderer. God links haters on the same level with murderers. That's one of the reasons why you don't want hatred in your heart. Because if God calls you a murderer, you have nothing but judgment coming against you. And you are not letting nobody cause hate to be not only evoked in you, but evolve in you. You want to get that out of you because there's a nasty spirit with hatred that poisons your system. And God wants you to know anything like that has nothing to do with Him. All right. And then it